You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Is there something in the air brewing good for our people? Is there a foreboding? Is there something that is gaining an energy that must, by the very nature of its being, explode and show itself at some point? Well, I'm not the only one who thinks so. Welcome back to the show, everybody. What a show tonight, too, Keith. I mean, this is Juneteenth. This is our Juneteenth broadcast. And this was one show I wanted to do it a little differently tonight. We came in here without a single note. We just booked Ramsey Paul last night, and what a great job he did. Always fun to talk to him. Versatile guy who could talk about any issue. And we just came in here, and we're just freewheeling it tonight, and I hope you're enjoying it. Can you tell a difference? Anyway, William S. Lynn said this, Keith, in an article. Now, we read from this article.
Let me say this first before we get into that. You're talking about Juneteenth?
Yeah.
I was thinking about the irony of tonight. You know, this is Juneteenth when black former slaves learned that they had been freed. And today's Juneteenth is when white formerly free people have discovered they're enslaved.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we figured that out before now. But yes, I mean, there is certainly a parallel that exists. But William S. Lynn wrote in his article, recent article. Now, again, when we cite William S. Lynn, Paul Kirk Roberts, these were establishment mainstream conservatives. Obviously, they were, like Van Morrison, willing to forego all of the social mores. And obviously, they've been on this show and their reputations to speak the truth. In his column written entitled Silence of the Lions, he wrote, the left forgets that when you finally push whites, European or European descent, too far, they remember that they come from great warrior peoples. The lions that are Western people are currently being led by asses. The asses think that the lion's silence, enforced by political correctness, means that they have been beaten. But that's not what it means. It means that, not allowed to vent, the pressure among these populations is building. If they blow, it's not going to be pretty. In another article that we'll have posted at our website next week, cross-posted, it's entitled The Crisis of Legitimacy. And I was going to try to work this in with Ramsey Paul because he mentioned how legitimacy is failing, the legitimacy of institutions. And in this article, William S. Lynn writes that the American people have no faith in the legitimacy of the media, the legitimacy of academia, the legitimacy of the churches, the legitimacy of even the elections. And the last one he focused in on as being quite key. And this is what he wrote in conclusion to this particular article, The Crisis of Legitimacy. The legitimacy in the state is eroding. The future looks grim, but no one in the establishment will consider for a moment how their actions affect legitimacy. Add in the coming debt crisis and inflation, and it begins to look a lot like Weimar. But, as was true then, what replaces the current dysfunctional mess will come from the right, not the left.
Exactly. And let's add to that list of institutions that have lost their legitimacy in the eyes of many people, the military. We now have this woke military in high heels, that is supposedly going to protect not only America, but all of the NATO allies and others, when they really couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. As somebody said recently, if we can't win the next big war at 30,000 feet above the ground, we're in for a heck of a ride. And that's the truth. Also, police departments. Look at all the police departments that are run by affirmative action candidates that basically excoriate the actual police people that work for them and throw them under the bus at the first sign of any stormy weather, like Derek Chauvin, for example. You didn't see the police chief of Minneapolis coming to his defense. No, he was up here throwing logs on the fire as they prepared to burn him at the stake. This is what we're having this long march through the institutions of cultural Marxism has gone through so many of our institutions that now institutions themselves are no longer reliable, and people know it. These institutions stand for the polar opposite of what they have traditionally represented, and the values and the roles that they served in society. And, you know, I forget who it was who said it, that said that if something can't go on forever, it will end. This subversion of our institutions, of our society, of our government, of our heritage cannot go on forever, because nothing worthwhile is stepping in to take its place.
Well, I was going to ask you one thing, Keith, and we've done shows on this topic earlier this year. I know we at least did an hour on it. This is related, but a slight departure, I guess, from what we were talking about just a second ago. But one of the things that came up in the media's attacking of the conservative resurgence of the Southern Baptist Convention, which just fell short 2 percentage points of sacking the convention last week or earlier this week, they said the average Southern Baptist can't define critical race theory. He has no idea what he's fighting against.
Well, critical race theory is really easy to define if you are familiar with cultural Marxism. There are three basic concepts in cultural Marxism: critical theory, the therapeutic state, and cultural pessimism. Now, critical race theory is just a subset of critical theory. So what is critical theory? Critical theory is a play on words. What is the theory? The theory is to criticize. What the left does is unrelenting criticism of any institution, any position, any argument point, any debate point that the right makes.
And until they cry uncle.
Well, the thing is, it doesn't have to be rational. It can just be a harangue. It can just be a denunciation. It can just be using a word like racist or white supremacist or whatnot to shut off debate. And when the media gives that type of improper debate of the issues credibility by reporting it and not criticizing it, it induces in the general population, the people that are being manhandled by the cultural leftists or the cultural Marxists, it induces what the cultural Marxists called cultural pessimism. That's what we see in the young. That's why all these young people don't see any need or are ashamed to come up and advocate for the rights of white people. They have been bludgeoned with critical race theory to the point that they have induced have cultural pessimism.
Well, that's it. I mean, basically, that's it in a nutshell. You criticize your opponent until he just gives up or quits out of frustration or just to make
you... It's like Stockholm's saying, please don't hit me anymore.
Just to make you stop. And unfortunately, we have too many weak-minded men who can't take the criticism and can't take the heat. And that's what you've got in the churches.
And don't want to speak up because they don't want to lose their career or their job.
We'll be right back.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
We come on this loop, John B., my grandfather and me. Around Nassau Town we did roam, drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broken, I wanna go home. So hoist up the John B.
Now, what a great song there that tells a story. And the Sloop John B., I wonder how much longer it'll be before that song gets canceled, because, of course, a sloop could make someone think of a slave ship. I mean, if you really think hard enough on the question. And that's just another issue that I've gotten whites so beat up mentally, when there should be nothing to, I mean, how many slaves did you own, Keith? You know, that's the thing. Whites shouldn't wrap themselves up in mental gymnastics over the issue of slavery. The Southern Baptist Convention has completely destroyed itself over it. There's no shame to bear. Paul Craig Roberts,
and
once
thing
again,
about critical race theory, when, you know, this is just a cherry on top of what I was saying before, is they use these nonsensical shut up word arguments that are really not even worthy of the name of arguments to induce cultural pessimism on white
That's
people.
It.
They say that you are an oppressor. You are bad. They don't bother to tell you why you're an oppressor. They don't ask you how many slaves your ancestors owned or things like this. They have no rationale at all. It's just basically a way of putting someone down, shouting them down, and controlling the debate, not through reason or intellect, but through sheer volume.
And they're increasingly trying to do that to whites in America, as they've done it to Germans. I mean, Germans, any sense of national pride out of a German now is akin to neo-Nazism. And so they have just completely been destroyed mentally. We cannot allow that to happen. Why I was saying there was no shame to bear in slavery, if you talk about it in an adult way, and this was a recent Paul Craig Roberts article, Was slavery wrong or an inherited institution, the former Secretary of the Treasury writes? Did slavery originate in the English colonies in North America in the 17th century, or do its origins go back before the time of recorded history? Is slavery racist, or was it based on an economic motive? If a person wants understanding, these are important questions. But if a person wants to engage in emotion for the purpose of gaining preferment, and its rewards, money and power, or simply enjoy the self-righteousness and moral denunciation of one's fellows, these questions are in the way. The fact that these questions are never asked and are not part of a black studies programs in the universities or the New York Times fake history project is conclusive evidence that today slavery is an emotive word used to demonize white people and bring preferment to black people. Slavery is presented to American school children as something that white people did to black people. Therefore, white people are racist and must pay in some way for the slavery of black people that ended in the United States 156 years ago. There are so many unasked questions. For example, how did the blacks get brought to North America? How did they become slaves? Who first enslaved them? The answer, which explodes the narrative, is that blacks were enslaved by other blacks. The main source of slaves for the slave trade was the black kingdom of Dahomey. Dahomey engaged in slave wars with other black kingdoms or tribes and became the dominant power. It is now called Benin on the east coast of Africa, or excuse me, the west coast of Africa. But so this is an adult, a grown-up conversation about the question of slavery that Paul Craig Roberts presents in one of his most recent columns that you'll never hear. I mean, Paul Craig Roberts should be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't even know if he's a Christian, but he'd be do a hell of a lot better job than what they've got.
Well, he doesn't just fold over and get into the umbilical position, which is what you're supposed to do. That's cultural pessimism. He doesn't react with cultural pessimism. He reacts with intellect and energy. And see, when they talk about a conversation about race, remember when Obama said we need a national conversation about race? Put that in the context of critical race theory. There will be no conversation. The white advocates will not be allowed to speak. They will sit there and endure a harangue from ignoramuses like Stacey Abrams and AOC and all of these other left-wing lunatics that have been given a podium and a microphone by the media and are treated as if they are great intellects when actually they can't make a rational argument. They deductive reasoning are beyond their pay grade. They cannot figure that out, but we're supposed to endure it and take them seriously and then take to heart what they say. And if we don't, then that's proof that we need to be taken out to the firing squad.
Roberts concludes this article by writing, in summation, you can read it at our website, also at paulcraigroberts.com. The extraordinary failure to ask relevant questions about slavery has caused a racial division in the United States infused with hatred. Hatred of white people. This hatred is cultivated every day by an irresponsible media, by the Democratic Party, by the universities, and by the critical race theory taught in public schools. Now that all this hate has been created, how do we get rid of it? With misinformation passing as scholarly fact, how do we recover truth and escape the lies that are destroying us? These are intelligent questions from an intelligent man. They deserve a reasonable debate.
And can you imagine that people are actually getting grades and getting degrees based on regurgitating this bilge that you hear and that Paul Craig Roberts explodes? In fact, anyone who gave an argument to a professor or in a classroom similar to what Paul Craig Roberts did, he would flunk. He'd flunk out. The smart people flunk out. The dumb bunnies get degrees. Welcome to higher education in America in the 21st century.
One more thing I need to remind you before we go to Jack Ryan. And one thing we're going to do at the end of the show tonight is we haven't done this in a while. I don't think we did it in our first quarter fundraising drive because we were so busy. It was in March, and that was our March Around the World, and there was not a spare minute in any broadcast in the month of March. We were trying to bring on as many international guests as we could fit on the radio. And what we're going to do at the end of the show is just give a shout out to listeners, not their names, but the cities and the towns that they have sent in support from that we've received so far up until tonight, June 19th. But I do want to remind you that our critical Our critically important second quarter fundraising drive is in full tilt. We are now beyond the halfway point. Less than 2 weeks remain. We've got to have your support. There's only one way to send it. It's got to be through check or money order. You know, we are deplatformed everywhere. You got to take the extra effort.
Or you can bring a bag of gold dust if you want to.
Yeah, or that. But take the extra effort, as so many of you have. We hate to ask you to do it, but there is no other way. You got to write a check. You got to send it in to our P.O. box. And as you do so, remember, we will continue to apply pressure and serve as an unrelenting voice of truth. We're never going to let our enemies take our determination or steal our hope. We will never betray you. We will never abandon you. We will never stop fighting for you. And we've got a great incentive gift, Mark Collett's book, The Fall of Western Man. We've been promoting it all month. You can read more about it at our website. Keith just got his copy tonight. A lot of those went out in the mail over the course of the last few days, so hopefully many of you have received yours by now. We want to send out a lot more, so please send in your support so we can return that gift to you. And Keith's going to do a book report next week, maybe.
Well, that, or else... We got one for James to do. We have to give him some crayons, too, so he can talk. I'm joking, of course. James is everybody knows that he's an intellectual powerhouse because he couldn't handle this show the way it is if he was not. And, you know, we are very lucky to have a microphone for somebody that will speak up for what is true, righteous, and correct.
Well, that goes right back at you, brother. World. And it's our show, and it doesn't stand up without me and you doing it together. And I receive emails and letters and postcards and things every day talking about the complementarian, to use another Christian term, a Baptist term, the complementarian nature of what we both bring to the program. And it's hey, for 17 years, you can't argue with the results. We'll be right back with Jack Ryan. Please send in your support, everybody.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says he and President Biden have agreed to return to the United States and Russian ambassadors to their posts in Moscow and Washington, D.C. After his big summit with Biden in Geneva, Putin telling reporters the two sides have agreed to continue talks on nuclear security. And as far as his conversations with Biden, Putin saying,
the talks were very constructive. Personally, I was convinced that President Biden is an experienced person, and it's clear that we spoke face-to-face for almost 2 hours. It doesn't happen with all leaders that you have such a detailed conversation face-to-face.
Speaking before the Senate, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the United States is well on its way to a robust economic recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. This is USA Radio News.
UFOs are back in the news, and even the military can't explain these strange UFOs intercepting our ships and planes. Are they a sign of something real, dangerous, or even biblical? Now, Rob Schmidt takes a look at the biggest mystery of our time. Rob's special series, UFOs, Are They Really Here?, airs all this week on Newsmax. Tune in to Rob Schmidt tonight on Newsmax, now on all major cable systems. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. Or get Newsmax for free on your smart TVs, Roku, Zumo, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, or more. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching now. So find out the latest on UFOs with Rob Schmidt and check out Newsmax tonight. It's real news for real people.
Former President Donald Trump is planning to visit the Texas-Mexico border. Trump saying he accepted an invitation from Texas Governor Greg Abbott to visit the area on June 30th. This as illegal immigrant car chases with smugglers continues to rise across the entire state of Texas. In one of the most recent cases, a smuggler carrying 12 illegal immigrants crashed into the front gate of a home in McAllen, Texas. Texas State Trooper Chris Olivares tells Fox News these sorts of occurrences are now happening every day.
Sadly, we've had incidents where there has been fatality crashes because of these smugglers, the way they drive, and unfortunately, we might start seeing that a lot more because of these increase of pursuits.
The Randolph, New Jersey school district announced that all holidays would be simply referred to as days off instead of traditional names like Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The announcement set off a backlash, including a petition calling for the resignation of board members. USA Radio News.
Love is just like a baseball game. Three strikes, you're out, Keith. How about it? That's Jack Ryan's intro music tonight. Jack must still be on his...
That's real heavy, man. Real intellectual song there. Thank you, Jack.
Well, he's our cultural correspondent. But no, listen, we like that kind of stuff, too. And God knows. Jack's still on the college baseball kick, are we not, Jack? How we doing?
We are into the finals. The College Baseball World Series, which is an annual event in Omaha, Nebraska. And I'd like for our listeners to sort of get into that, not just follow the score, but create it as sort of a folk event like the Indianapolis 500 or the Kentucky Derby horse race. It's in the Midwest, and it's very much a historic American. The crowd is going to be historic American, and the teams. Well, I'll read off the final eight teams. Okay, we got Texas, Tennessee, my alma mater, Vanderbilt, Arizona, Mississippi State, Stanford, North Carolina State, Virginia. So six out of the eight final teams are Southern ones. And so it's sort of like the SEC football was back in the early 60s with Keith's, you know, his favorite time. I mean, really, it's the University of Mississippi Rebels. Archie Manning was very much. It's a folk sporting event, and I'm very impressed with the high quality of play, and the crowds are enthusiastic, positive. It's very good, and it's just a new sport. They didn't really have college baseball when I was at Vanderbilt in the 80s. We weren't any good, but we've stepped up, and now Vanderbilt is there's a lot of good teams. We've won twice in the last 5 years, and we got a second place, so I think my team is the best college baseball team in the country, and I'm supporting our team.
Basically, college baseball has eclipsed minor league baseball, don't you think, Jack?
It has. Well, we had a very good minor league baseball team in Nashville when I was there, the Nashville Sounds. And yeah, I think it has eclipsed this. Now, there are some Hispanic players in the best college baseball teams. Most of the Cuban and Venezuelan guys go through minor leagues. They don't go through the college. And there's a few black. There just aren't very many black Americans that play baseball. It's just not popular. They're not good. We have a very good pitcher on Vanderbilt. But it's mostly the historic American nation, Southern ones. There are a lot of good teams from the Midwest. Notre Dame against Mississippi State was one of the finals there. And the Notre Dame people really came out and they were for it. But the Southern schools are the best. And it's our people playing for it. I think we should get into it and just enjoy the sports. I think with Steve Bannon that said politics runs downriver from culture. So I'm looking to get some really good politics from this college baseball. It's a reality that our people vote for celebrities, Hollywood actors like Ronald Reagan or Schwarzenegger, or I think Alabama elected their senator was a former coach of Auburn. So they go for sports and things like that. So I think we want to promote this sport, and maybe one of the coaches of one of these six Southern teams in the College Baseball World Series will get into politics and will be a popular governor or something like that. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, baseball, this is a forbidden territory, but we'll rush in where wise men fear to tread or angels fear to tread. Baseball is the one college sport that is still dominated by whites, okay? Same thing for, you know, softball for the women and baseball for the men. So we really need to support college baseball. I remember when I was a kid growing up, we had the Southern League with the Memphis Chicks, the Mobile Bears, the Chattanooga Lookouts, the Birmingham Barons, all of these different teams that, you know, were really kind of legendary in their own era. And also they had the Black Major Leagues. We had the Memphis Red Sox and the Birmingham Black Barons. And all of that, was really a wonderful era.
Right. No, I understand that. But the other thing, I want to disagree a little bit with you, Keith, what you said, that it's only baseball that our people are doing well. I think it's only football and basketball that blacks dominate. All the other college sports, things like swimming, tennis, volleyball. Volleyball is a great sport. Those women volleyball players, they're really good, and they're really good looking. It's not just beach volleyball that gets
high. Revenue sports is what I was talking about, the ones that carry the load for them.
Yeah, but they are involved with just revenue. I mean, we want to support our people to play sports, and we're doing – and then the media is extremely anti-white. And so one thing that's not known is that boxing, the middle and heavy your weight boxing divisions have been dominated by white fighters from Britain and Europe for the last 15 years.
That's why you see nothing on ESPN about them.
Exactly. Do you remember how big boxing was when Mike Tyson? Well, even recently in the 90s with Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis and Evander Holyfield, when black heavyweights were winning, boxing was just like everywhere. And now that it's been a string of white heavyweight champions, boxing is like
it's crickets.
It's like not even a sport anymore.
Well, it is, but I mean, those boxers, the black American boxers of the 70s, 80s, were fantastic. Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler. I tip my hat, and if there's a good athlete, I'm going to
support him. There's no doubt about that. I mean, boxing's boxing. There's no referee. There's no rigged calls. You get out there and you pummel each other. So there's no doubt that there were good black boxers. I'm just saying the way that it was promoted and hyped as a sport.
Jewish ESPN will not cover white champions, period. And if you want an indication of what the media control does, that's what they do.
But that is true. But that's no excuse for us not to cover the one. So I'm into boxing or international sports, and one of the greatest fighters in the last 80 years has been this British boxer of Italian heritage, Joe Calzaghe. He has the fastest hands since Sugar Ray Leonard, and he was real smart. He fought all his fights in Great Britain until the last two. In the U.S., and he retired undefeated. He's handsome. So I was aware of him, and I was promoting it. And so we can't make the excuse of saying, oh, the media doesn't cover this. We have to go out and follow good sports and create our own
media. I never heard of him. Have you ever heard of him, James?
Who?
This
Joe Calzaghe.
Joe guy, Calzaghe.
Well, that's why we've got Jack, because Jack, you know, Jack and I were communicating earlier this week.
I guarantee if he was black, we'd have heard of him.
Well, and that's what Jack says he wants to focus on right now for the time being, is focusing on his segments on cultural, sports, music commentary, and then working a few historical political observations as well. But this is, you know, a community that is not being well served. I mean, where are our champions in sports? Well, not, you know, you have CAST Football. Don Wassel has always done a great job with that. But besides that one website, there's not really a lot of talk about sports as it applies to our people.
Sports and our people, and also other things, fashion. And one of the best things about our people is that our women are really good looking. We just are. Everybody else knows that. I mean, O.J. Simpson, Tiger Woods, all these Arabs going after Lady Diana. Our women are good looking. And we'd have to be really stupid not to notice that and to use that for our ones. And in a tasteful way, not in a slutty or a way. But that's why I'm a big follower of Russia Today. They give you populist news. In America, British, and there. It's from a Russian perspective, and there, but they also feature sports.
Well, if you like that, you ought to try Russia Insider. Now, that's really the real McCoy.
It hasn't stayed up as, like Russia did. They take big times off. Russia Today is supported by Russians, and then they feature photo ops of the Russian synchronized swimming team. They're really good. They win, but these gals are just good looking. And so, you know, why don't we feature our good looking women instead of just, you know, moaning and groaning about crime and economics and things that are boring.
Don't let me rain on your parade, Jack, but let me ask you this. Do you think that the promotion under Title IX of women's sports has led in all to the lesbianization.
Well, you know, I did. There was an outspoken heterosexual. Now, again, it's different maybe on some levels, but when you get to like the WNBA level, there was a heterosexual female professional basketball player in the WNBA, and she said that 98% of the women in that league are lesbians. 98%.
I really don't want to be turned on by them.
I mean, so yeah, I don't know if it's right. Led to their homosexuality or if women's sports by their very nature brings in the
or whether they're being secretly promoted. Who knows?
The butch of their gender, but
their butch. Well, okay. So this is my rule about women's sports that I follow. I have two rules. One is that if I put on a wig, am I going to be as good looking as these women in the other sports like basketball? Yeah, and things like that. They have to be better looking than I am, and they have to be actually better at the sport now than I am. I still think I'm better than the WNBA basketball players in my late age, and I'm better looking. But women's volleyball, women's tennis, women's softball, they're good, and a lot of them are good-looking women. So let's support our gals. Saudi Arabia doesn't
Hey, I'm right here. Good commentary, Jack. We'll be back with more. I'll tell you what I was about to say when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
to find a good song that features a xylophone these days. That was the Beach Boys All Summer Long. We are going to be having fun all summer long. The summer just now kicking into high gear here in mid-June with Jack Ryan and our invited guest, Keith Alexander, yours truly, James Edwards. And it has been a great summer so far. And we will continue to have fun all summer long. Don't forget to keep sending in your support all summer long. That makes sure that we continue to be able to do what we do. I wanted to save this for Jack. So he could hear it as well. Not that he wouldn't be listening otherwise, but you know, I wanted to do it while he was on the air because he's a part of the team here, and we all share in this. But just want to read off just a few of the cities from which we have received support so far in this, our second quarter fundraising drive. And that includes Jack and Jack's hometown of Chicago, Illinois. Jack has contributed to this program this month. And so not only is he contributing on air, he's contributing dollars as well, as do I. That's what we do. We don't do anything we don't ask you to do. And thank you for doing it. From New Palestine, Indiana, Winter Haven, Florida, Euphrata, Washington, Riviera Beach, Florida, Chino, California, Lowell, Massachusetts, Canton, New York, Collinswood, New Jersey, Green Valley, Arizona, from Canada, from Baghdad, Kentucky, that is, Cary, North Carolina, Beaumont, Texas, Koontz, Texas, Pickens, South Carolina, University Park, Texas, Weatherford, Texas. We're big in Texas. I just, again, folks, I don't want it to just become a blur to your ears, but just listen to different cities, these little hamlets all the way up to the big cities. This is where people are tuning in to this program tonight from and sending in their support from Mineral, Virginia, San Marcos, California, Philadelphia, Bruce Township, Michigan, Five Points, Tennessee, Gallatin, Tennessee, that's our friends Rich and Janice, Irvine, California, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Loudoun, Tennessee, Armstrong, Illinois, Lynbrook, New York, Thomasville, Georgia, Bluntville, Tennessee, Callahan, Florida, Johnson City, Tennessee, via London, Troy, New York, Evans, Georgia, Baldwin, Missouri, Perry, Florida, Easley, South Carolina, Essington, Pennsylvania, Hazard, Kentucky, Jacksonville, Jersey City, Marietta, Georgia, Baton Rouge, Rudy, Arkansas, Dumas, Arkansas, Sebring, Florida, Valley, Alabama, Bardella Springs, Maryland, Franklin, Tennessee, Fort Worth, Louisville, Clinton, Iowa, Greenbelt, Maryland, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Parkersburg, West Virginia, Dupo, Illinois, Cabot, Arkansas, Fanning Springs, Florida. I could keep going, but I did that. I went that deep just to give you a representative sampling. That is a widespread audience across this country and indeed around the world.
Well, I've got a question for you raised by that recitation of all these towns and cities and hamlets that contribute to us. One of them was Dumas, Arkansas. Now, what is Dumas, Arkansas's claim to fame?
Well, I know that there's El Dorado, Arkansas, which is where you know, the lost city of El Dorado was found, right? I don't know Dumas, though.
That's the supposed home of the character, the main character in a song from the 1920s called I'm a Ding Dong Daddy from Dumas. Y'all see my do my stuff.
I would not have gotten that one.
I got an ever-loving mama, and her name is Babe. She's a little heavy laden, but I like them that way.
Not only would I have not gotten it, I certainly couldn't have sung it. So we'll give Keith the credit on that.
I can't sing it either.
But it don't stop you from trying. Jack, what do you think when you hear a list like that? That's where TPC Nation can be found, there and more.
Well, I like the fact that our show is popular throughout United States and North America, but I also think that it is a Southern-based show and that our culture is, it's the authentic part of the South, which isn't to say that other regions don't have their own unique culture and positive things, but I think you said it best, that a North is the direction and the South is the place, and the South is a special place, and that's the reason why I chose to go to college in the South, because I wanted to, A, escape this horrible Northern big city Chicago stuff, these women, horrible people. But I want to go to the South, and the South has got its own myths, it's got its own legends, it's got its own accent, and I think that we should not give up on that, and don't ever fall into this argument that everything is about economics, that everything is about money. It's not. It's about your culture. It's about your people, and a business can always make short-term profits by firing their local Southern workers and hiring people from the third world who will basically work for free for a green card. And if you say, oh yeah, let businesses do whatever they want to do, let Tyson Foods bring in Bantu Somalian Muslim workers to work in Murfreesboro or Shelbyville, they'll do it. But that's not, those are not good people. And so we want to have businesses, religions, and people that will protect our people and protect our culture. And I understand I'm a Midwesterner, so Southerners are going to want a Southern leader. But if you show some respect for the local culture and things, I think various forms of Indo-Europeans are going to get along okay. And Midwesterners, we're kind of bland. But if, you know, if we mix this in with Italians or Southerners, well, things are going to work out, you know, so.
To your point, Jack, Keith, who do we prefer, a Midwesterner like Jack or a quote-unquote Southerner like Russell Moore? He was born here. Which one do we want?
We want Jack. It was Jack.
We were talking about Russia today. But, yes, Russia Insider, and, yes, I mean, you know, it's run by a guy who, like all of us, I mean, he does the best he can with what he got. He does a fantastic job. I'm not diminishing that. I'm just saying when you're a one-man operation, you know, you might take a little hiatus every now and then. But they've got some fresh content up, some recent content up up till this week at Russia-Insider.com, Russia-Insider.com. And it's a Christian website, which I like. Their motto is always tell the truth. It was founded by a gentleman named Charles Balsman. And Charles and I have broken bread before. He hasn't been on this show, but he's agreed to come on. We were going to have him on right around the election time, and then something happened. I don't remember what it was, but we didn't work out the fine details. But I was telling Keith, you know, the one thing we didn't have time to get to tonight was the I want to say Trump, because I still recognize him as the president, but the Putin-Biden summit. I mean, obviously, we don't have time to talk about something like that. We had to spend an hour and a half bashing the Baptist again this week, so that was necessary. But maybe we'll get Charles on for next week now, and that'll give a few more days for the dust to settle and everybody to get their minds wrapped around what happened there in Switzerland this week, and we could have Charles on next week. But Russia-Insider.com, good stuff. Russia Today, I mean, anything's better than what you've got here. Anything's better than the American media.
That's
or at least it couldn't be worse, Jack.
Well, it can always get worse. That's right. You want to hear the weekly statistics? We got 3 days left this week in Chicago. Okay, 67 shot, 12 shot and killed on that. So it can always get worse. You think of some of the worst homosexual rapist serial killers. It was John Wayne Gacy, and he was targeting white teens. You think, wow, that's the worst. It can't possibly get ever any worse. And then there's Jeffrey Dahmer. Not only was he a homosexual rapist serial killer, but he was also a cannibal. Okay, so it can get worse. It can always get worse. That's my
he
video.
Checked all the boxes, didn't he?
Yeah,
what's the police code for murder? 187. I mean, hey, do Chicago police even respond when they hear there's a murder, or do they just get to it when they can? Because it's so commonplace.
The murder. And then, okay, and it's not just shootings and murders. All kinds of civilization things are falling down. We have the worst rat population. I just saw a huge, super fast rat out front of a place I used to frequent. So you got that. And then now we've got basically
you're going to win the rat Olympics in the 100-yard dash.
They drive. I haven't had a car for 10 years. I got a car because I was getting paid for a monthly space. And so I'm a good driver, but driving on Lakeshore Drive, the Dan Ryan Expressway, it's really like a Mad Max movie that they don't have any semblance of following the laws. I'm driving 10 miles over speed limit. Cars are going by me like 30 miles, zipping in and out, and they shoot each other. And then we've got
laws are for sissies.
They have these motorcycle crews of unlicensed motorcycles, and they just bomb areas. I saw a guy yesterday, and it looked like an African, not even African American. He was driving on the street, and then he just goes off the street. He's driving 40 miles an hour on a motorcycle dirt bike on the sidewalk, and they just like go there. So you're having just civilization falling down, anarchy, and it's not just murder and mayhem. The things that come out with garbage collection, rats. If you don't pick up the garbage, you're going to get diseases that are a lot worse than COVID. Tuberculosis, infectious hepatitis. That's how bubonic plague came from Asia the first place. It's just dirty people. So that's another reason I don't like these conspiracy mongering people at all. You know, COVID was created. If you just have really dirty third world people that don't process garbage and food and they don't use toilet paper or soap and you let them migrate in and out of your countries, they're going to bring diseases and plagues. And this is an easy issue that a populist political person could run on just saying, no, don't bring in plague people into our communities, but our people usually miss it. We run on gun issues, the Constitution, the kind of, and then we always miss easy issues that should work for us, that work very well for populists in Hungary, Poland, and Denmark.
Well, if the people you're complaining about are non-white people, white people have learned, you know, almost like Pavlov's dog, to have an aversion to that because they know that will bring out a charge of racism.
Jack, thank you again for your contribution to tonight's program, for Ramsey Paul, for Van Morrison, all that music we played. Jack, you got to get Van Morrison's CD. Man, we played it during the second hour. Thank you, Stan from Idaho, for sending it one more time. Hey, folks, if you want your city, town, or village, or hamlet to be mentioned on TPC, send us in some support. We got to have it to stay on the air. We don't like to ask, but we sure don't want to die. So help us, and we'll continue to fight for you. For everybody, good night. Godspeed. We'll be back with you next week. I'll be 41 when I come back on the show. I got a birthday coming up this week on Tuesday. Good night, everybody.